about the software representation, I haven't heard you give me a single piece of evidence that would even arguably support an inference of intent. And I'm desperately trying to find it. So okay. You need to tell me what it is.
Yes. In addition to the fact that they were very well familiar with the references and can't claim lack of knowledge.
With references.
Yes. The fact that they never provided copies of the references to the patent office. In fact, based on the NPEP at the time, had they filed an IDS, they would have been required to provide copies of the references to the examiner.
These are U.S. patents.
But there was no IDS filed, right?
Well, they prepared one.
But it was not filed.
It was never filed. He said they got it ready. He actually prepared a filing letter. He had a check cut for the filing fee. He said it was all ready to drop in the hopper. And then they made a decision not to file it.
If that's a failure to file on something that's already disclosed in the patent, where is the intent to deceive as requested by Judge?
Well, they, again, had they done it the right way through an IDS, they would have provided the examiner with copies of the references. The examiner would have been required to review both references. They didn't do it the right way.
You mean the examiner isn't obligated to read the spec and to look into what is stated to be close prior art in the spec?
The examiner is required to read the specification. I think what happened here, Judge Lowry, is that the statements by the applicants led the examiner away from these references. Had the examiner actually reviewed these references, pulled them and reviewed them, it seems to me there would have been four or five respects in which the prosecution history would have documented that.
How do you know he didn't?
Well, we can't prove it conclusively. But the fact is that the examiner never cited Sleevey or Streitzel in the form PTO 892. He never mentioned Sleevey or Streitzel in any office action. There are no.
That doesn't mean that he didn't consider them, no?
Well, it doesn't conclusively show that. There's no way to know for sure. But those two bits of evidence combined with the fact that, again, copies not in the file, not cited in an office action, not on form PTO 892, they are not listed in the references cited. So I think that collection of facts indicated that the examiner likely never reviewed them. And in fact, the applicants were successful in their efforts to lead the examiner away from those references.
But how do you establish intent on that basis? Granted materiality, let's assume materiality is established. How do you establish intent, clear intent, that they intended to deceive the patent office?
Well, for example, in addition to what I've said so far, the district court concluded that even a cursory review of the Streitzel reference would have indicated that it disclosed software. They said the opposite, at the same time telling the examiner that they had very carefully reviewed those references. So it's the combination of the evidence. They very carefully examined this evidence. The representations they made were clearly false, as their own witnesses testified. They discussed the references with the examiner in a manner that allowed them to avoid providing copies of the references to the examiner.
But there's no evidence they intended to do that. There is no evidence that they intended to avoid letting the examiner see the references and all of these things that you're asserting. That's
I disagree. I think once they had the IDS ready to file, they had the filing letter, the check cut for the filing fee, it was ready to drop in the hopper. All they had to do was file it at that point, the next day or the following day. The examiner would have had copies of the references and would have had them in a manner that the MPEP said, you have to review them. Now,
couldn't they have decided there was no need to file them in an IDS? They didn't file the IDS at all, right?
That's right.
It isn't as though they filed some things and omitted those. They may have concluded it wasn't necessary to file an IDS. The prior art that we would have disclosed is already in the spec.
Their story, Your Honor, at the bench trial was that we got this IDS ready to file. Again, check cut, ready to drop in the hopper. And their lawyers told the story to Judge Folsom. They said what happened is we got it all ready to go, and the IDS says the purpose here is to tell the PTO about the relevant prior art, you know, copies attached. Their story was that it became mooted when they received the first office action. Now, again, it's ready to go, ready to drop in the hopper. That story might have made sense had the office action come in that day or the next day or the day after, but it didn't. It came in 1 year and 2 months later. They put the IDS together and got it ready to file in February of 2004. The office action did not come in until April of 2005.
Counsel, following up on Judge Lurie's point, The court made an express finding that there was no withholding of references in this case. So what you're suggesting now is you want us to reverse that fact finding by him in order